Good evening. This week's parsha is Truma. We begin the series of the five parshios that deal primarily with the Binyan HaMishkan, with the building of the Mishkan. And I would like to do this evening is do something a little bit different. I saw a rabbinic colleague early in the week suggest or raise the question, is there a connection between this divine command to build to construct a Mishkan that the edif this particular edifice with another in divine instruction regarding a construction building project that appears also in the Torah, and that is much earlier, all the way back at the beginning of Bereishis, and that is the Teva, when God commanded a Noah to build a Teva, to build an ark. Is there any connection between these two construction projects? Again, both are mandated by Hashem. And is there anything to relate, to share, to compare between these two projects? Now, unfortunately, I did not read what he wrote about it, so I don't know what he said. But I'd like to offer my own suggestions as to maybe several possibilities and several connections between the building, the construction of the Mishkan and the Mishkan itself, as well as a Noach's Teva, Noach's ark. And let's just begin with stating that on the surface, at least according to some opinions, when it comes to the Mishkan, and clearly when it comes to the Teva, when it comes to the ark, both were not necessarily built l'chatchila. In other words, both were not necessarily originally in the plan or ideal. Now, clearly, the ark, clearly, God did not initially intend to destroy the world. There never should have been a need for a teva, for an ark to save mankind, because mankind should have lived a wonderful life. Mankind should have followed God's dictates and God's values, and never should have been a reason for God to destroy the earth. At the very end of Parshas Bereishis, we're told already God is seeing that man has turned astray, and man is not doing, living up to the ideal in which he was created. God relented, he regretted the fact that he created man, and therefore he decided that the world must start again, the world must be destroyed and start anew. So clearly, again, in theory, ideally, this never should have happened. There never should have been a need for the Teva, for the Ark. And similarly, when it comes to the Mishkan, so I'm sure we've discussed this in the past, there's a very famous machlokas disagreement between Rashi and the Ramban as to when exactly were the Jewish people commanded, instructed to build the Mishkan. And Rashi, not in this week's Parsha, but Rashi in Parshas Ki Sisa, there, Rashi tells us that, in fact, and this is consistent with Rashi's opinion in several different places in the Torah. Rashi says, "A mukta mu'uchar b'Torah." The Torah is not a history book, and therefore it doesn't necessarily follow a linear chronology. And even though the command, the instruction to build the Mishkan precedes the story in a few parshios, Ki Sisa, of the Chet HaEgel, the sin of the golden calf, nonetheless, actually, the sin of the golden calf preceded the command to build the Mishkan. The reason why the Mishkan, we assume, according to Rashi, the Mishkan's instructions are here earlier is to connect the theme and the purpose of the Mishkan to sort of recreate the Har Sinai experience. But nonetheless, Rashi is of the opinion that the Mishkan was actually a result of the golden calf. That if it never been a sin of the golden calf, it seems like, at least in the desert, there never would have been a need for a Mishkan, because after all, the Jewish people should have gone directly into the land of Israel and perhaps immediately built not a Mishkan but a Beis HaMikdash, and there never would have been a need for a Mishkan. It was only because of the sin of the golden calf and the fact that the Jewish people now need to be redirected and refocused in their worship of Hashem. Until the time would come, until they ultimately would enter Israel, conquer, divide the land, and build the base of Migdash. Again, this is all also prior to the sin of the spies. So we're not necessarily talking about 40 years out, but even a shorter period of time, still they needed some physical manifestation, clearly, because that was the whole thing, that their worship wasn't there, and they needed to build this golden calf as sort of a replacement. So they needed something that would get them back focused to Hashem. So at least according to Rashi's approach, again, Ramban disagrees. Ramban says there always was the plan, always was to build the Mishkan, and that's why it occurs and appears and was instructed right after Har Sinai. But at least according to Rashi, similar to the Teva, similar to Noah's Ark, both of these seem to be things that were not initially in the plan, and they only happen as a result of some failure. So that's right off the bat, that's one similarity between the Mishkan and Noah's Ark. Another similarity based upon this is that both of these structures are vehicles were used for teshuva, for repentance. Right? We know that the Midrashim tell us that when it came to Noah, that one of the purposes of building this massive ark was not only to all the animals to be able to fit in, but also it was a pro it was it took years and years and years to build the ark. And why did it take so long? Because it hopefully was supposed to inspire the people to repent. Hopefully, it would prevent a flood. It would prevent it wouldn't there would not wouldn't be a need for God to destroy the world. So the construction of the edifice itself and building it was there to serve as a warning to the people and hopefully would motivate them, inspire them to do teshuva. And of course, similarly, the Mishkan, well, the whole purposes of the Mishkan was, we'll talk about this in a moment, was to attain atonement, to attain kapara, to reconnect with Hashem. But also, if you go with Rashi's line of thinking, that this was as a result of the sin of the golden calf, so this also was going to be now a place where the Jewish people could reconnect to Hashem. It was a place for them also to return, to do teshuva, to turn away from the mistake that they had made in terms of the golden calf, and instead to once again reconnect with Hashem. So that's a second similarity between these two projects. A third similarity, and just coming off the heels of the second one, is both of these projects were used to connect to Hashem. Right? Both of these, again, the whole purpose of the Mishkan clearly was a place to serve Hashem, right? To bring korbanos, to bring sacrifices. It was a place where the Jewish people could encounter the Kohanim and can connect to the divine presence. And similarly, the Teva itself was supposed to be something for people to recognize that there's a God, right? That God was going to destroy the earth, that there is a God who controls the world. That was the messaging, hopefully, for the Teva. To the people, to the inhabitants of the earth. Therefore, both are used to connect to Hashem. Another interesting connection, just in terms of the specifics, is both had an inner light source. Right? Both had an inner light source. So the Mishkan, of course, in this week's Parsha, we learn about the menorah, and after all, if you think about it, the Mishkan was a totally enclosed structure. There weren't any windows in the Mishkan, so they needed to. How would you see inside of it? So you needed some sort of light. So the menorah was there for light. And in addition, we're told specifically in Parshas Noach that the Tzohar, that some sort of light source, was also built into the ark for there to be light. And furthermore, Rashi, quoting Chazal, tells us that there's a machlokas. What was that source of light? Was it a chalon, some sort of window, just practically gave light, or was there some sort of a stone that somehow that there's something unique and special, miraculous about some form of light? And I think if you go with that further connects the ark, Noah's ark, to the Mishkan, because the menorah we know also on the one hand it was a regular light. Right, the Kohanim had to light it, but also there was this Ner Tamid. It was constantly lit. It was always illuminated. There was something divine and spiritual about miraculous about this menorah, and both perhaps are highlighting that the fact that of Hashem's presence. Right? Both are symbolic messages to Noah, to the Kohanim, and to the Jewish people. About the fact that what illuminates us in this world, it's Hashem. Hashem who gives us light, Hashem who gives us direction, God's whose presence is always here, even in times of darkness, even in times of turmoil, even in times of where there's great storms and danger. So there's always Hashem who's there, showing us the way, giving us the path, following the light and following God's directions. Again, I think that's another similarity that one can make, connection between Noah's Ark and the Mishkan. What's also interesting is the details, right? There's, for some reason, the Torah goes into in both accounts goes into great length to give very specific instructions in terms of how to construct these, these edifices, these structures. God could have just told Noah, build an ark. I'm going to save you and the animals. Go and figure it out. Noah could go on YouTube and watch a, how to build a, a boat video, and he could figure it out how to build a boat. Like, why does God have to tell him, this dimension and this, this height and this length and width and how many floors and what to put it on the inside, on the outside, and like just tell him to build an ark. And similarly, when it came to the Mishkan, the tabernacle, God could have said to Moshe, build a tabernacle for me, a sanctuary where I will dwell within. And yet, the Torah, again, I mentioned at the outset, there's five parshiyos that go through all the details, and it's so specific about the materials and the length and everything and how it's constructed. Why are the details so important? And so perhaps again, the message for both is that that's exactly the point. The problem was both with the time of the sin, with the people of the Dor HaMabel, the generation of the flood, as well as the Jewish people in connection with the sin of the golden calf, is that they were making their own decisions. They were thinking on their own as to what God wants or what they want or what's the right thing to do. And God tells us, no, I'm telling you what's right. I'm giving you very specific instructions. Don't deviate. Right? The Torah later on is going to say, "Lo saster, don't turn away. Yamin is small to the right or to the left." Right? This is the way to serve me. This is the way to come close to me. And therefore, perhaps the necessity to be so specific regarding these construction projects was to highlight this larger message that God hasn't told us what He wants. God has told us how to live a moral and ethical life. And the details are important. The details are critical. That they are what we need to follow. And it's all and we shouldn't change. We shouldn't do otherwise or go in a different direction. And therefore, again, you have this common theme between the two as well. Another interesting connection is that both not only do both have animals as a major part of these structures, obviously the Mishkan with the sacrifices and the Teva, the Noach's Ark with all the animals being saved, but both have animals that are being used for korbanos, for sacrifices, right? The Mishkan, obviously, right? The whole purpose of bringing the animals there was for korbanos, for sacrifices. But even when it came to the Teva, so the kids all learn in school that two by two, right? The animals came. There's two lions and two tigers and two elephants, but some animals had a lot more than two, right? The Torah is very specific in Parshas Noach that when it came to the kosher animals, it was then 14, right? Seven male and seven female, cows and goats and sheep. And why? Because those were going to be needed for sacrifices to come close to Hashem. In fact, what does Noach do? Right, when he leaves the ark, builds an altar to God to offer our sacrifices. And therefore, both of these structures are being prepared and being used to for us to connect to Hashem through the medium of these korbanos, of these animals. And that's another connection. Furthermore, both have food. Right, both of these. There's a lot of food. Obviously, in the Teva, the Ark, there's food that Noah is told to brought in to feed his family and to feed the animals. And then in the Mishkan, right? So various food items, wines and oils, and eventually, when they go to Israel, the fruits that are brought. There's and then all the meat of the animal sacrifices. There's all this food, and here, and in both on some level, it's to sustain life. It's to but even in this Mishkan, right? You give some food to Hashem, but some you keep for yourself to be nourished, and to be able to function, and to be able to to live in this world, and to accomplish in this world. So again, they both have this element of food. Another thing I thought of to connect the two is that while both of them were structures where things were taking place on the inside, the goal ultimately, I like to suggest, was not to remain inside, but to go back to the outside. In other words, when it came to the Teva, to the Ark, that's obvious, right? Teva, right? It was just to save Noah and his family and the animals, right? It was temporary. Now, during the flood, they had to be saved, they had to be rescued, so they're placed in the ark. But the goal was to leave the ark. The goal was to once again reunite with the earth, with the land, and once again to be fruitful and to multiply and to live life, and but to live life this time, following God's dictates and following God's values and his morals and his ethics. So the goal was again just temporarily to be in the ark, but ultimately was to exit, to leave the ark. And what's interesting is that for Noah it was a little bit hard to leave the ark. God even has to command them because he got comfortable perhaps within the ark within that protective environment. But the goal was to go out and to once again recreate. And in a similar vein, the Mishkan also, the goal is not to, you don't live in the Mishkan. The Mishkan was just a place where you came to reconnect to Hashem. It was a place to recharge and to remind us about, our purpose and, in this world, and that we're here to serve Hashem. But the goal is then to leave the ark and then to then serve our God, right? The goal is then to live one's life and to work the field and to interact with your fellow man, and to do it within the values of the Torah, right? It's that you get recharged within the Mishkan. But you're not supposed to live in the Mishkan. You're not supposed to remain in the Mishkan. You're supposed to go there momentarily, and then you go out, and then you live life according to what God wants. So both of them had that very very strong similar theme that they were just temporary moments to be in there. The goal ultimately is not to remain, but it is to leave. Another, I have two more. I'm sure there's many, many more that we can think of. Just two final connections, I think, between these two building projects is that both of them were in order, and it's sort of similar to what I said earlier. But both of them were for protection, right? Both of them, God instructed in order to rehabilitate us and to protect us. Again, clearly the Teva, clearly Noah's Ark, he was there to save Noah, his family, and the animals during the flood. So it was God. It was a demonstration of God's love and compassion towards Noah and his family, towards the animals, and ultimately his love and devotion and God's firm belief in the possibility of mankind to reinvent himself and to renew himself. But it was this cocoon of a place of safety in the turmoil of storm and danger. And so too the Mishkan, in a very similar way, it's a place of protection. It's a place where man who has sinned, right? Often a reason why you come to the Mishkan is because you turned away from Hashem. You did what you weren't supposed to do, and as a result, and you're therefore instructed to go to God, to go to the Mishkan, to bring your sin offerings, your guilt offerings, and ultimately to receive atonement, for God to give you a second chance, for God to say that I still believe in you, for God to say, okay, you did this, you made this mistake, but now, try again. Right, so both of the Mishkan as well as the Teva, they're both were places where people came for safety, and where people came to for God to embrace them, to watch over them, And then ultimately to once they found that place of comfort and safety, then God to gently allow you to exit to then once again live in a better environment. And finally, my final connection between the two, this is where they perhaps differ in a very significant way, is that both of them have a lot of wood, right? They were made of wood. The walls of the Mishkan were made out of wood. Not all the vessels, but most of the vessels, excluding the menorah, were made of wood. And the teva and the ark, of course, was made of wood. Right? I know how to be a carpenter, cutting down these trees, and you had to build the teva out of wood. However, both were layered. Right, there was wood, but then there was outer and inner layers. And in the Noah's case, what was it layered with? So the Torah is very explicit with kofar. Kofar is some sort of pitch, some sort of tar. Right, it was something that would not allow the water to penetrate. But we know Rashi Chazal point this out when it comes to another teva mentioned in the Torah. Teva of Moshe, when Moshe is as a baby and his mother puts him in the little basket, so she also puts this kofar, this sort of pitch tar around his basket. But what's interesting is that right, Chazal pick up on this. She does, unlike Noah, she doesn't put it inside, only on the outside, and we say it's because the pitch, it smells, it's not nice, leaves a bad odor, and so Moshe, the holy Moshe Rabbeinu, should not have to, even as a baby, should not have to be on the inside, have that foul odor. But Noah, the animals, had the tar, the pitch on the inside and on the outside. And again, it's just there because it's a necessity, just there because you need it in order to prevent the water from entering the boat. But it's not something that's pleasant. It's something that doesn't look nice. When it comes to the Mishkan, it's just the opposite. Right, it's also made of wood, but it's layered. The vessels, what are they layered with? So either a nechoshes, either a bronze, or sometimes of kesef, of silver, but mostly of zav, of gold. Right, like the, for example, most famously, of course, the Aron, the ark. Right, that it's that both the inside and the outside had gold. Right, surrounded gold surrounded the wood, and clearly, what's the difference between the Mishkan and the Teva? The Teva was something that was it was terrible. The Teva was destroying the world, right? The Teva was all about fact a world gone astray, and death and destruction. And perhaps it was that pitch, that tar on the inside and outside that highlighted the how dark and evil and how how you have a world that's full of chaos and of destruction, as opposed to the Mishkan. The Mishkan, it there was this outer glow of that gold that was shining, and it was inviting you to come and to enter. It was a place of hope and renewal, a place of divine connection, and a place that's not temporary, but ultimately the Mishkan turns into a mikdash, a sanctuary, which is a place that we want for forever. Right? It's a place the place to always feel connection to Hashem. And we don't only go to a Mishkan, to a mikdash when we sin. But ultimately, hopefully, we go to a Mishkan to bring an Ola, a whole burnt offering to God, a Shlomim, a peace offering, a Todah, a Thanksgiving offering, to show our devotion, our connection to our love for God. And hopefully, we're doing what's right, and we want to come even closer to Hashem. The Teva, we don't want Tevas. Tevas are a sign that things have gone wrong, the world has gone amiss, that mankind has fallen, and from lofty level. The teva is a place that we don't want any more tevas, but we do yearn for a mikdash, right? We pray for a rebuilding of the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. That's the goal, because that's the beauty, because that represents the opportunity to come close to Hashem and have a relationship with Hashem. And so I think it's fascinating, right? I think that it's remarkable that there's all these similarities between the Mishkan and the and Noah's Ark, right? And the two projects in the Torah that God commands. God instructs Noah to build a teva. God instructs Moshe to build the Mishkan. And while clearly there's many differences, obviously differences between them, I think I gave 10 similarities, and I'm sure we could probably come up with maybe 20 more. And so clearly, the Torah is one book; it's one sefer, and everything connects to the other. I think there's these very powerful messages that emerge from both of these construction projects. Wish everyone a wonderful Shabbos.